glory. Would you turn to Psalm 19, please? In Psalm 19 and verse 7, is everybody there? Would you read it with me? The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the what? You know what your soul is? Your mind, will, emotions, imaginations, conscience, subconscious. Hello. All those things. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be what? Desired are they than what? Gold. It's too bad people desire gold first. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than any honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your what? Servant is warned. Are you a servant? Well, then you're warned by this scripture. And in keeping them there is great what? Reward. So he's telling, listen, the law of the Lord is perfect. You got to understand something about God's law in the Old Testament. God's law in the Old Testament are divine boundaries. Are you with me? They're boundaries. The Lord knew that they couldn't obey them. Hello? But he gave them boundaries that when they got close to him, he'd hope that they would depart from them. Hello? And we know that because of the sacrifices then that they did, they made sacrifices of animals and the blood to cover, but it never removes sin. It can only cover it. Amen? Is everybody with me? So these laws were divine boundaries that God put so that they would, in hope in resisting or departing from those things. Amen? They were boundaries. They weren't going to bring people salvation. They were boundaries. Are you hearing me? Because the Bible says that nobody could obey them anyways, right? But they did the sacrifices so that it could cover, but it could never remove. That's why Jesus had to come. Go to Galatians 3. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, God is good all the time. Galatians chapter 3. As we enter this new dimension that God is bringing the body of Christ into, you know, Jesus expressed three dimensions. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those are three dimensions. And I'm not going to get into all of that right now. But the Lord is bringing us into another dimension, and in this dimension, He begins to change us to fit accordingly to the dimension we're going in. Is everybody with me? That's why you're going to find a lot of things get exposed in your life. Hello? Well, nobody's happy about it. See, so God's going to expose things so that we can fit into this new dimension. Because, see, what happens is when God brings us to another dimension, we feel uncomfortable. Ooh. It seems like you can't do nothing right. Come on. It seems like, man, you know, I try and try. It's because you're not dead yet for that dimension. You're still too alive and there's still too much stuff there. So you're struggling and fighting on the things that you've learned from your past, but God is trying to bring you something new. So all of a sudden, the things that you've learned from your past aren't working. You know why? Because you've been too comfortable. And the Lord brings you to another dimension. He says, it's time to fit into here, but you can't fit without me changing you. Now you've got to have a desire to want to change. Does everybody understand that? Remember, he said something powerful. He said, not only am I the way, the truth, and life, but he said, you must what? Deny yourself to pick up the cross, then you can follow me. Those are three dimensions. We're entering another dimension that the Lord has placed before us. See, we're waiting for the early and the latter rain to come. If we were to receive the fullness of it, there wouldn't be a body left. Because there's still too much garbage. There's too much untrusting. Still too much judgment and bitterness. There's still too much stuff that God is dealing with. You know, if you recall, remember one of the first things that Jesus did when he went into the temple? He made a whip. And he began to go in and kick over the money changers and over the dove sellers and all of whatever in the temple. You know what he was doing? He was exposing, and he said, listen, my house is not a house of thieves. Now the Bible says that the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So for us to get into this next dimension, even as we step into it, it's uncomfortable. Now we've got to get cleaner, pure. Now we can't do it, can we? So when I say we've got to, what I'm saying is that's all you need to do is yield to it. You need to cooperate with what God is showing you, not ignore it, put it under the rug, because you're going to fall over it. See, one of the things he's going to start doing is checking your attitude, how you're responding to things, whether you're reacting or responding. He's going to check whether you're really relying on what you know, what you've been through, your circumstances, who you're really trusting in. See, we've called out, oh Lord, I want to do your will. There isn't a soul in here who hasn't said that. So if you have, you can expect to do his will. Dead or alive. Well, you know, I just, too many people relying on what they feel. And we go back to this again. Too many relying on what they see. See, you know, what God is trying to do is really begin to make the carnal realm more distant to you. See, we have a tendency to constantly reach out to the carnal arena. We give it, but it seems sometimes that it's just going further and further away, no matter how much and how hard and whatever you do, it just seems that you can never grab it. It's good. He doesn't want you to. Because if you do, then you walk in the natural realm, and he wants you to begin to walk in the supernatural. So we are entering another dimension. And in that, he has specific things that qualify you to live in there. Are you with me? Good. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of what? Transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now we know that there were mediators, weren't there? That Moses was a mediator, wasn't he? Amen? And then Jesus became the mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now we know that the word believe means to what? Follow. And Jesus said, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and what? Follow. Individuals who are following the Lord are constantly going from glory to glory. See, the Lord is bringing his church in another dimension to move back the powers of darkness, to take victory, and to rescue souls. See, the Lord knows how the enemy's tactics are. Sometimes you and I don't. So he brings us into a place and prepares us. He teaches us new weapons. He teaches us new tactics. He teaches us other areas in our life which we thought were good and helpful, and realizing that it's no longer useful anymore. He's changing jobs where you've been comfortable. He's changing relationships. He's changing all kinds of things in your life to position you so that you may walk into that new dimension and fit in it. Is everybody with me? Good. Okay, let's go a little further. Hallelujah. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the what? Law. Kept for faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our what? It was our tutor, our boundaries. To bring us to who? Christ. That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now, so we knew that the law were our boundaries, which brings us to the King and His anointing. Are you with me? These are called now, and I just want to share that the law is now becoming replaced with divine requirements. Do you understand this? So the law that was is now replaced with divine requirements. Divine requirements are those things that God is telling you on a daily basis. Why? Because He desired relationship. All right? Now, divine, by obeying divine requirements, it grants us access. So if you're not willing to change, you can't abide under divine requirements because you're not willing to change. You know, everybody says, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But see, they don't realize that change is willing to do whatever it takes. So if you're not willing to change, you're not willing to do whatever it takes, no matter how much you say it. Hello? You know, people get so much in a rut. They eat dinner at the exact same time every day. They do the same thing every morning. They do. Are you hearing me? We become so over-disciplined that we become hard of hearing. And then we become religious. And when God is trying to, and then all of a sudden we find, you know, that things just aren't going the way they're supposed to. But Lord, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. But obey. Hello? Why? Because He's saying, listen, here's my divine requirements, which is going to qualify you. They have access to all the things I have. Why? Because I'm on the move. And if you're not on the move, you won't be able to have access, because certain times of in the seasons, access is granted in different places. Now listen, we have a teaching called invitations are opportunity for visitations, aren't they? See, so God is on the move. He's always on the move. Everything is moving. The universe is moving. It is not still. It's moving. Everything is moving. You may think we're still. Even the earth is turning right now. Amen? But we don't sense it. Because right now we're caught up in what is here present. But if we were to look beyond what is present, if we were to look beyond what is in this atmosphere, if we were to look beyond what is beyond the moon, if we were to look beyond what is the stars, the Milky Way, and the universe, we enter another dimension. See, so God is trying to bring us to a place where we stop looking in the present and we begin to look in another dimension that is so unique that when you see in these areas and you step in these areas, it is not only expressing future, but it's already expressed past. It's like all of a sudden something comes together all in one word. Past, present, and future all at one time. See, because God is not bound by space and time. And in this dimension, either are you, then you will understand why things happened in the past, what's going on in the present, and what's going to happen in the future. And that's what he's trying to bring us to. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, divine requirements grant us access by faith in his accomplishments. Because you and I would not have access unless he had already accomplished it. Are you with me? So everything relies on what he's already done for me and you. The thing is now to access it, we must be qualified. And it's by obeying divine requirements. Hello? Is everybody out there? Praise God. Go to Romans 8. Thank you, Master. Romans chapter 8. We have a wonderful teaching that says going the extra mile. Individuals that are not willing to go the extra mile will never walk in that dimension. They can't. Because an individual that can't go the extra mile cannot deny himself. He limits. Are you with me? He limits. And the reason why an individual limits is because they're still relying on their own strengths. They even rely on their own weaknesses. Come on, do you get this? Are you hearing? They rely on their what? Own weaknesses, too. Oh, hallelujah. I hope somebody gets this. In verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. Now, remember, the law of the Spirit is now divine requirements. Are you hearing? There are now what? Divine requirements. That is the law of the Spirit. For what the law could not do and then it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous what? Requirement of the law might be fulfilled where? Now, he's talking about the law that puts people to sin and death, which is the Old Testament law, isn't it? See, it is fulfilled in you already. Now, let me share this with you and grab hold of this. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, didn't he? Amen? So as you are obedient to divine requirements, you are fulfilling the law along with him. The law of what? The law of the past. Are you? See, because unless you fulfill something from the past, you can't go to the future. You must complete and finish something and fulfill something of your past to continue to go into the future. Or your past will always hold you back. You can only go so far. Why? Because you'll constantly be attached to your weaknesses. You'll be attached to your failures. You'll be attached to your successes. You'll be attached to you. In this next dimension, you have nothing to do with. Are you hearing? I'm telling you, I pray in the name of Jesus that revelation of the mind of Christ will be manifested in each and every one. Hallelujah. Now, again, the law is replaced with divine requirements. Are you hearing? Now, but we are still walking in the Spirit that is fulfilling the law of the past because we are walking with Christ. And he said, I came to fulfill the law. So as we're constantly fulfilling the law of the past by walking in the Spirit, you become obedient to divine requirements that brings you into the future. Man, I got a lot of faces that are like, what did he just say? Hallelujah. Remember, you cannot go into the future without fulfilling the past. Thank you, Master. Psalm 40. No, we ain't going there. Psalm 15. Hallelujah. Y'all better lift your hands to heaven and get drunk or something in here. Hallelujah. We may teach on this for about 6 months. In Psalm 15. Is everybody there? Okay, I'll be there in a second. Whew, sure got warm in here. 1-5, would you read it with me? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Glory to God. Now, I want you to understand this. God's tabernacle is dimensional. So, I just share with you that God is on the move, isn't he? So, he's saying, okay, who can abide in this dimension where you're at? And what does it say? And who may dwell in your holy hill? And he says what? He walks what? Uprightly. Well, that means somebody who is obeying what? Divine requirements. And works righteousness. And speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue or his mind. Nor does evil in his to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. In other words, hates evil. Anyone who does not hate evil will never advance. Anyone who pets evil will always become a part of it. Anyone who compromises evil will become evil. He in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't change with the Spirit, but he doesn't change the righteousness. Amen? You know that you can depend on that person. You know that that person is reliable. You know when that person says something, they're going to do it. You don't have to go behind this person to find out whether they've done it or not. It's done. This is where God is trying to bring us. Because let me share something with you. If that's not manifesting in your life, God can't trust you. Are you hearing? And you will not advance or fit into this dimension until this is broke off. And you'd be willing to go the extra mile, see things through all the way in this dimension. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? He who does not put out his money at usury. In other words, he's a good steward. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall what? Never be moved. Now, he will never be moved by wickedness. Do you understand that? But he'll be moved by the Spirit because he won't be moved by wickedness. So he'll be following and obeying the divine requirements by fulfilling the law according to what Jesus has fulfilled. Severing from the past, being able to go into the future. Holding nothing. Holding on to nothing. I said holding on to nothing.
but Christ. Glory. 1 Corinthians 9. This is getting good.
Whew. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 9:19. I sing praises to your name. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? How many of y'all want to walk in this new dimension God is opening? Well, those who don't, praise God. Would you read it with me? For though I am free from all men,
oh, hallelujah,
I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. See, Paul was able to become all things, but not be bound to anything. Hello? It's walking in the dimension that we're talking about. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, then I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Now I want you to look about, what did Jesus do? Remember, Jesus walked in that dimension. Oh, man, did he walk in that dimension. Paul was learning. That's why it was blowing Paul's mind, because he was learning how to suffer according to the way Christ suffered. He was learning how to walk in that dimension. That's why he said, I count it all dung of all the things of my past that I've learned. He said, now I rejoice in the arena where I suffer with Christ. Why? Because in that arena where Christ was suffering, it was actually enjoyable. Because it was a whole other dimension. Not associated with the sufferings of this world. Of losing things. God did not suffer because he was losing anything. He was suffering because he was gaining everything. And that was you and me. So in him, he walked in another dimension with joy. He counted it joy to suffer and die like Christ. Because Paul had reached this dimension Not many men have. I believe he's probably the first one besides Elijah. And of course, Enoch didn't hang around long enough to tell everybody enough about it. Glory. Okay. Is everybody all right? In verse 24. Man, that scripture is so powerful. I mean, it expresses Christ himself. I became all things that all men can be saved. Didn't it say he became like a humble servant? He was a carpenter. He was a son. He became all things. He was able. There wasn't no one he wasn't able to relate to, because he became all things. See, we who are caught up in the dimensions that prevent us to go into this next dimension will not be able to open an area. They'll have resentment towards people. There will be people that they won't want to express God's love because of fear. They won't be able to communicate with certain people. Paul accomplished in reaching that dimension where it didn't matter who, what, where, or when. He was able to express Christ and be a witness. Are you hearing? Oh, hallelujah.
Is everybody all right?
Good.
I'm about to fly, so if you see me take off. See, my sacks are gone already, so I'm there.
Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it.
Ooh. That you may what? Obtain it.
And in everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. In other words, he exercises self-control. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. This is those who do it according to the world. Yes, I work very hard that I may get a paycheck. Yes. I suffer that I may get a paycheck. Yes, I'm willing to give up all of these things that I may get a paycheck. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, divine requirements is an area where it qualifies you. Are you with me? See, by obeying these divine requirements is where God says, come on, I want to qualify you to operate in this place. I want to qualify you to operate in this dimension. God is not holding anything back. He's putting everything out, but he's going to qualify you. You're not going to give a 6-year-old kid your keys to your car. You know, everybody's expecting all of these things from God, but yet they've not earned it. Well, Lord, your word says. Well, you haven't qualified to receive that promise yet. But Lord, all of your promises, you paid the price. Yes, he did, and you got to pay it now too. But Lord, your word says you've come to give us life and life more abundantly. Right, as you're qualified, you'll get what you earn. God qualifies you to receive. Are you hearing? Trust is earned. People think that they've been good for a week or 2 weeks or a year, that they get everything. Well, Lord, you know, I've been good for a year. But now, you ain't dead yet, because you're still looking at how good you've been. You lost what he's done, and you're looking at what you've done. You won't walk in that dimension. Are you hearing me? You cannot walk in it. Only his son, his daughter, can walk in it. You cannot. That's why he qualifies you to walk in it. So divine requirements is an area where God qualifies you. Amen? Psalm 40. Oh. Whew, sure is one. Hallelujah! Is that a hallelujah? There was a... It was a hallelujah. Psalm 40, verse 6, please. Would you read it with me? Is everybody all right? I'm going to ask you that constantly because you all look like you're in another world. Thank God! I want to make sure we're all in the same dimension. There's no cell phones in this dimension. See, you already know what's going on. You don't have to make no calls. You just think and you're gone. This is where the scripture is fulfilled, that he does far above all you could ever ask or think. That's a whole nother realm. In Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8, would you read it with me? Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of a book it is written of me. You know, this is you. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. See, so you're already born with the law. Amen. Now, as you continue to fulfill it, as Jesus fulfilled it, and then you're obeying the divine requirements, it advances you. Are you hearing? It what? It advances you. Why? Because God's on the move, and you must be on the move with Him. That's why people who are not willing to change cannot advance. You got to be willing to change at any moment. You can no longer have an agenda or a plan. What do you mean? I've got plans to do. That's right, it's all. That's your plans. People, we have plans. Now, don't get me wrong, you can have little agendas, but you better be willing to break them. Amen? Your plans must always be willing to come under your feet. My wife has a hard time with me. Hon, what would you like to do? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. Would you like to eat? I don't care. And why you ask me what I want for dinner at 6 o'clock in the morning? I won't go there. That's when the breakers start popping. Glory to God. Ears to see and a desire to change. See, you can't do His will unless you're willing to change. See, people, oh, man, I want to do your will, Lord. Yeah, okay. Oh, Lord, it's okay. I need you to change and go do this. What? Say what? It can't be you, Lord. I'll never forget when the Lord said to me, Guy, I want you to buy a motorcycle. Get out of here, devil. Man, you ain't going to cause me to stumble and have a desire for a bike that I used to ride for a long time and I lost it for the last 14 years. Guy, I want you to buy a bike. I felt like Noah. Noah, build an ark. 40 cubits by 30 cubits by 50 cubits. And then Noah goes, what's a cubit? Right? The Lord said, Guy, I want you to buy a bike. I thought, okay, hallelujah. I struggled with that for 2 months. And I mentioned to my wife one day, she said, yes, I think you should too. I was like, whoa. Somebody offered to give money for the bike. I thought, wow. And the Lord said, I start looking for a used Harley. Okay, I'll get in the internet and start looking for used bikes. He says, I don't want a used bike. Wait a minute, didn't you just say, I want you to get a bike? Yes. He says, but I don't want a used bike. Oh. Well, what kind of bike would you like? I want a witness bike. Do you understand? See, he had to change me. Because of this thing that held me back, because when I was a bad boy riding a bike, what he wanted to bring me, I was still trying to bring from my past. And I couldn't receive it. But so he had to change me so I could walk in another dimension so that I could see what he wanted. Do you understand that? See, he may tell you something, but until you're willing to change, you can't see what he really wants. Oh, hallelujah. And the story goes on. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. So one of the things that the Lord is going to always do is get you in the Spirit. If you're not willing to change, you can't get in the Spirit. Do you know that every time you get in the Spirit, you must be willing to change before you get in? See, people are still trying to get in the Spirit without changing. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. Divine requirements. Are you with me? Are you Ephesians chapter 5? Good. Keep your finger there and turn to Acts 1. Hey, I'm willing to change, are you? Acts chapter 1. Verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Is everybody there? Now Jesus had just been hanging around the earth after his resurrection for 40 days. And he was getting ready to leave and go home and intercede for all of his children that are in another dimension so he could bring them into his dimension. And being assembled together with them, he what? He commanded. In other words, he gave them a what? Divine requirement. To what? Qualify them. Are you hearing this? Now those who obeyed were qualified. Those who did not were disqualified. Again, there was 500 disciples there. And what did he say? He said, listen. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. 500 disciples he spoke to. 120 of them obeyed the divine requirement and entered a whole nother dimension, and 380 stayed the same. Are you with me? And those 380 that have stayed the same, have gone down from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation, and that's why we have denomination. Now, Ephesians chapter 5. Glory. We're going to talk about a few requirements. God willing. Is everybody all right? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now we'll start at 15. Can we all read it together? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, quit wasting time. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is if you ain't in the Spirit? How are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is if you're not submitting and obeying divine requirements that qualify you to fulfill the will of the Lord? Amen? And do not be what? Drunk with wine in which is dissipation. But be what? Filled with the Spirit. But be what? Filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Because that relationship is an inward relationship, that it may be expressed outward. And giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the what? Fear of God. Wow. In other words, a divine requirement is to maintain a filling of the Holy Spirit. That was the first requirement Jesus gave them, wasn't it? Do not leave Jerusalem until the Spirit comes and fills you. Amen? Do not. That was a commandment from the Lord. His first requirement, divine requirement, was to stay filled with the Spirit of the living God. In other words, worship at all cost. Amen? Worship. I'm going to close right here because we don't have enough time and we'll continue on. Go to Isaiah 58. Oh, man. Okay, we better not. Thank you. We're going to talk more about the filling of the Holy Spirit and we'll continue this on. How many of y'all want to walk in this new dimension? Well, you got to submit and obey the divine requirements. Again, the first divine requirement is to be filled with the Spirit of God at all cost. Amen? At all cost. Father, we thank you for your word. And we know that you're faithful to complete what you started. I apply the blood of Jesus on these seeds right now that's been imparted. And I pray, Father, that you will give each and every one of us in this room a divine revelation and hunger and thirst to walk in this new dimension that you are opening and expressing to your people. That we may walk more like you. In Jesus' name.